بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Ilyas Abdulhaq Burnett and this is my story.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, your family, where you grew up, so the viewers can get a little bit of an insight about you?
Where do I begin? I was born in Southeast London, Lewisham Hospital, to a black father from Guyana, which is just above Brazil, in between Suriname and Venezuela. But he came to England when he was only 7 years old, so he's a Londoner. And my mum is English. I have a twin brother, his name's Jibril. So we grew up in Blackheath. We spent time living in different places. We've been in Blackheath, been in Plumstead, lots of different places. So I went to Invicta Primary School, which was in Blackheath Standard. And then from there, I went on to Thomas Tallis School, which is in Kidbrook. And I was kind of, you know, like every teenager, trying to find your place, trying to discover who you are. And I really loved basketball. Me and my brother, we both loved it after watching Space Jam, because we used to collect the Tazos from the crisps, and since we started seeing the Looney Tunes and we saw the Space Jam movie with Michael Jordan, we thought basketball was the one for us. So we really got into the hobby and the practice of basketball, and at school I really liked art as well, art and English. So going into my GCSEs, I decided to take an A-level in fine art, and what else did I do in GCSE? Obviously the natural ones, maths, English, etc. I didn't do too badly, I didn't do great. Got 2 C's in English, got an A in art, and 2 D's for science. Terrible at maths, hated maths. Always got into trouble with my teachers at school as well. Got into a lot of fights. Apparently I had a big mouth. I don't know, man, I don't know where it was really, but I always used to find myself in trouble with just lots of different people. So, went into college, joined Thomas Tallis sixth form, and I decided to take drama and art, but just before then I joined the National Youth Theatre, and this was a really good experience for me, because it gave me an opportunity to learn how to interact with people outside of school, taught me a lot of social skills, built up a lot of confidence, which I didn't have before that experience, in regards to just being able to speak with many different types of people on different levels and just being myself, you know, learning to open up. And, you know, having my twin brother kind of made me reliant upon him, whereby we didn't usually have a lot of friends. I just rely on my brother and this, that and the other. So that experience was really beneficial for me. And it kind of gave me a love for acting as well, in theatre. So in college, I took that subject and fine art, and I went on to go to Aura Drama School on a scholarship, which is in Clapham Common, and had a really funny experience there, because I'd just been kicked out from my house. I was living with my dad, and my parents, they split up when me and my brother were 2, and I was living with my dad all my life, which was a really good experience for me, because I learned a lot about manners, and then also I had, you know, the backlash as well sometimes from my experience living with my dad and that. But we had a little bit of an up and down relationship, to be honest with you. I've been kicked out of my house maybe five times. I've lived with my sister for a little while. I've lived with my granddad. I've lived with my nan for a little while. Lived with my mum. And the last stage was I was actually living at my ex-girlfriend's house. This was when I was 17 and I was in my last year of college. My dad had kicked me out and I was staying with her family. So you can imagine what that situation must have been like for me. You know, I'd been with her since I was 13 and I'm 17 years old. And she was my ex-girlfriend, and I was living with her and her family, who did a really, really great job, you know, who were really, really generous taking me. And I stayed with them for a year while all my housing situation was being fixed. And I moved into this flat here today. I moved in here just a couple of months before I turned 18. I live in Deptford. And I remember the first night I stayed here, I was with my brother, and we bought the Arctic Monkeys' Favourite Worst Nightmare album. And we were just like laying in bed and we were just listening to songs like 505, Old Yellow Bricks, you know, If You Were There, Beware. Just listening to these tracks. And then the next day I had my interview at drama school. So we did that. I got in, had a really a crazy experience there. I really kind of discovered that drama or theatre wasn't really the way for me. It wasn't what I was so passionate about. I thought that in order to reach people and to kind of make a difference in the world, I had to be somebody famous or I had to be seen. And it was kind of like a release for me, I guess, you know, just being having an opportunity to do something creative. I'm not really an academic person, you know, that's just, it's not in my nature. I like to study aspects of the deen. I love reading about the deen. That's the thing, I think that's why I struggled in school, you know, because I was forced to study subjects I didn't have any passion about. When I'm passionate about something, I'm more than happy to study it. So I discovered that drama wasn't for me, and I was going through lots of different trials and tribulations growing up, you know. I was never really so much in the gang culture, but, you know, things started, I kind of lost myself along the way. I started smoking weed. And I was heavily into music as well, so I was writing my own music and that. I ended up getting into a crime, you know, which is like really like outside of my nature, you know, a bad crime. Not really, really bad, but bad for my standards anyway. And got arrested and I had to do 120 hours of community service. So obviously 120 hour community service isn't that bad, but in regards to my belief, growing up, neither of my parents had any religious belief at all. You know, my mum was not a Christian. My dad was not a Christian. They weren't Catholics. They didn't have no religion at all. But when you're a human being, you have the fitrah inside of you. You look upon the creation. You get to travel. You get to see things. And you just realise that there's a creator. So, you know, I guess you could say that I was agnostic. I believed in the creator, but I didn't trust or have any faith in the concept of religion. Religion was something which didn't appeal to me at all. I was exposed to Christianity at a distance. Like I said, it wasn't in my family. But, you know, I didn't see anything that appealed to me so much. When we moved to Plumstead, when I just started secondary school, there was a Baptist church right opposite my house. And we went there with our dad maybe. We lived there for like 8 or 9 years, maybe longer. Yeah, about 8 or 9 years. And we went into that church maybe 6 or 7 times. And the part we loved most was going to the Sunday school, which we went to maybe 4 or 5 times, just because it was like learning things. But I was always confused between the concept of God and Jesus. Like, I put like a division between the two. Jesus is Jesus and God is God. And naturally, I imagine God was greater than Jesus because God was the creator. But then they said that Jesus is God and that, you know, he came and he died for our sins, and if you accept Jesus, then you would go to heaven, and just all of these different things and the nature of the people and their dress and their mannerisms, it just didn't appeal to me. I saw it as something very, very old, and I was not exposed to Islam, so I didn't know much about Islam at all. So yeah, I grew up believing in the creator, and actually I'll share a short story. I was with my brother one time. We were staying with our mum, and we went down to the park to play. It was a hot day. We used to like to spend a lot of time in the house just playing games and stuff. And there was a kid that came down and came with two of his sisters. And this kid was really, really rude to me. So rude, I don't know why. He was like half my height, half my age. His sisters were about me and my brother's age and one of their friends. And he was just like kicking me, cursing me. I was just like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, I must have been about maybe like 9 or 10 years old. This kid was about maybe six or seven or something. And I slapped him. Yeah, because I got fed up. I just clapped him one time. He started crying. Everybody's turned on me. It's like everybody forgot the oppression and the verbal abuse I was taking for like 10 minutes with one clap. I'm suddenly the enemy. And I felt really bad because his sister was like, you know, why did you do that? He said he's got cancer. Like, he doesn't often come out of the house, you know? Like, he doesn't often come out. He's not allowed out. I don't know what to think of that now today, but I remember leaving, and subhanAllah, I asked my brother about this today. I asked him, do you remember me doing this? Do you remember seeing me do this? But I remember crying, because you know, when you're young and everybody turns on you, you become so emotional. And I was crying, and I just remember getting on my knees. And I remember making dua for the first time, I think, apart from the time when you know you're going to get licks or you got a bad letter coming home, and he's like, oh God, please don't let that letter see my dad, or please don't let that call reach my granddad's house. But yeah, I remember calling upon Allah, you know. I was like asking Allah to forgive me for harming the boy and upsetting his sister. And then I don't know if they saw me do that, but they came up to me later and they said, look, you know, I know we know what he was saying to you. We know he was kicking you in this, that and the other. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I just left. So I guess that was like my first kind of like moment of worship, I guess, which came quite naturally. So at the age of 17, I was actually at somebody's house. I was seeing this girl, but her father was a Muslim, but her mother was not. I was in this girl's house, and her father brought me into the kitchen to speak to me about Islam for the first time. I was hearing about this deen. And I guess the best way to describe the way that I felt when he was talking to me was emotion and like shock. I was in complete shock because I was hearing about a religion and a way of life which I related to and which I could comprehend in my heart. I could reason with it. It had logic. It appealed to me. It just seemed so right, everything that he was saying, talking about the prophets and how they were sent to guide mankind when they were astray, and how the man is shown through the prophet how to worship his Lord and how to have a relationship with his Lord, which was something I always doubted. And so from that one conversation I had with that brother, his name's Muhammad, a Somali uncle, very, very good man. I began to, through my work and stuff, I'd meet different Muslims and I'd just ask them about the deen. I never met any practicing Muslims. I only met non-practicing ones, but I'd ask them and they'd share with me any little knowledge that they had. And I met a good friend of mine, his name's Pasha. We were doing door-to-door fundraising together. And he showed me the film, The Message. And I remember watching that with him, and he showed me wudu and he showed me prayer for the first time. And he taught me assalamu alaikum, you know, he taught me assalamu alaikum. So every single time I say that, he's getting rewarded, you know. And it got to the point where I started to question more, and I was trying to find out a little more about the deen. And I actually sat down with my mum, and I was sitting with her just like this. And I said, Mum, you know, I want to read the Quran. And she said, yeah, go to the cupboard there. I got one. I was like, what? You have a Quran? Like, I was in shock. So I took it. I borrowed it from her, and just day by day, you know, I'd read it and, you know, take bits and pieces of it. And I just remember being in shock, because you know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends verses with one of his names, of his attributes, like Huwa al-Aziz al-Hakim, he's the Almighty, the All-Wise, wa Huwa al-Ghafur al-Rahim, he's the often forgiving, the most merciful. Like when I have the concept, when my belief in God was that, yes, he would have those attributes. He would be most merciful. He would be almighty. He would be all wise. And when he spoke about how the blessings his faith bestowed upon man, you know, that he causes the rain to fall from the heavens and he brings about crops and livestock for us. Everything, you know, to the history of the Jews and the Christians and how they went astray. Everything I could reason to and I could relate to, the worship of the one and only God, the message of all of the prophets. So I just became, you know, immersed in it. And it got to the point where I wanted to take my shahada. And I did that, you know, I did that. I found conviction. I started from Baqara. I think I took my shahada by the time I was maybe just in the beginning of early Imran. And that was it for me.
When my brother accepted Islam, I'll be completely honest with you. I wasn't fazed at all. I didn't particularly care. I think throughout my experiences and experiences that I've had with my brother and life, certain things just didn't seem to faze me. And even still today, certain things don't faze me as I expect they should do, or how they would affect normal most people. All I saw was him growing his hair and getting a little bit of a beard and wearing these weird long gowns. And that was a bit strange, but ultimately he was still my brother. I didn't look at him really any different to how I used to before. One thing that was really interesting is I used to come to him with these arguments and these questions, these really controversial questions about Islam. Why is it that Muslim women have to cover up? Do you really believe that Adam was the first of creation? And why is it that Muslim men can marry more than one wife? These controversial topics I was mentioning to my brother, and I don't know, he was very, very new to the religion, but every time I used to hold these questions at him, I thought there's absolutely no way he can come up with a logical answer for this. So before I would ask the question, I would be so confident that there's no way he's going to be able to answer this question sufficiently or with an answer that makes sense. And every time, I don't know how Allah granted him the ability to give me an explanation, an answer to that question. And it used to resonate with me. It made sense almost straight away, although I would hide it. I used to think to myself, how did he explain that? How did he actually make me understand that part of the religion, something whereas before I never thought he would be able to explain. So that was an interesting thing for me. What he used to do was he used to send me lectures from all of these da'is, all of these people of some Islamic knowledge. He would send these lectures over to me and I would watch them on YouTube. But I remember what would happen was I'd be in my flat and I would be up at silly times. I used to go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning just listening to music on YouTube all night. And what I would have is, I remember I'd have one tab up of like Lil Wayne something or other, because this was back in 2010. So I'd have Lil Wayne up. And then on the other tab, I'd have Murtaza Khan talking about the deception of Shaitan. And I remember I used to listen to the lecture and then I would try and go back to the music. And then I'm watching the music video and it's just a very immense comparison between listening to something so pure about the religion of Islam and then trying to go back to music and seeing what you see in the music video, that I used to actually have to stop watching it because I felt like it just wasn't right. So I really, really enjoyed these lectures. It wasn't difficult for me to sit down and maybe watch a lecture that was an hour long. I used to find it very intriguing. All of the points that was mentioned and used to make a lot of sense to me. I've always believed in one God, one creator. And when I did learn about Christianity, because I did have an experience with Christianity when I was a born-again Christian, as they say. I was a born-again Christian, but some Christians would say that I was never Christian because I never took Jesus as my Lord and Saviour.
Because you didn't take the blood of Christ.
I never took the blood of Christ or was baptised and all of that nonsense. So, with all respect to the Christians, of course, with as much respect as is due, I never took Jesus as more than a prophet. Maybe a son of God, but certainly not God himself. I remember one time actually when I did become a born-again Christian, I was praying. I was living in a hostel in Deptford at the time and I was trying to pray. I was praying to God. And at the end of the prayer, normally I was taught to say, "In Jesus' name we pray, amen." And I swear by Allah, when I got to that point at the end of my prayer, in my heart, I felt like I shouldn't say it. "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." So I didn't say it, but I was wondering if my prayer would be accepted or not. But anyway, I never said, "In Jesus' name we pray," because it just didn't seem right to have an intercessor between me and my creator.
Mashallah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, yeah. And what happened was, is I stopped eating pork. That was the first thing that I stopped doing. I stopped eating pork and I continued watching these lectures. My brother would keep sending me things. I remember one that got me so excited was about the descriptions of paradise from Sayyid Raga. I remember listening to that. That was a great lecture, descriptions of paradise. I was very excited. There was one of the things that was holding me back was the Quran and wondering. I never trusted men through my experience. I don't trust men. So anything that had a man to do with it, I was like, I'm not about it. There's a chance for there to be some corruption or whatever the case may be. And I remember one guy called Khalid, Muslim brother from Woolwich, a revert brother as well. He knew that my brother Ilyas was Muslim and he saw me. Again, I was non-Muslim at this time. And he was asking me, "Why aren't you Muslim?" Da, 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 da. And he didn't stick it on me at all in any way, shape or form. I just mentioned my concern about man and man-made religions and man being involved in religion and whatever else. And then he said to me, "Yeah, you'll never be Muslim until you believe that the Quran is the word of Allah." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." And I left. So I went to this community day. And it's funny, because of the lectures that I'd watched about Shaitan and about his tricks and his deception. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. I was with my dad, because it's close to Christmas, it's just after Christmas actually. I was with my dad in the car with my little brother, and he was talking about Ilyas in a derogatory way, in an unpleasant way. And I was defending my brother and saying, you know, like, don't talk about my brother like that. And then he kicked me out of the car. So I needed to get to Lewisham, and I was on Plumstead High Street. So I thought, you know what, I knew this was going to happen. I knew something was going to try and prevent me. I'm still going to go to Lewisham. So I went and I was talking to brothers and again, very intriguing discussions. At that point, I knew that Islam was the truth. And I remember about the beard, because there was a girl I was seeing at the time and I was saying, you know, I'm thinking about becoming Muslim. And she said, "Oh, if you do, like, will you grow your beard?" And I was like, no, you don't have to grow your beard. Like, it's an option, it's a choice. And then one of the brothers, his name's Abdullah Deen, may Allah guide him, he gave me a beautiful analogy about the beard. And after he said that, it not only was a massive dawah point towards me accepting Islam, but it's also the reason why I grow my beard today. He said, imagine if you saw a lion in a safari and it didn't have its mane. It would look like a lioness, right? And I was like, yeah. He said, well, obviously, as we're men, we should grow the beard, and this is a sign of our manhood. So that impressed me a lot. My brother was on my case. Take your shahada, become Muslim, that you believe it's the truth, you know it's the truth. And I did know it was the truth, but what I had to do was I had to make sure that I wasn't letting my emotions get the best of me. And I wanted to see how I felt the following morning. So even though they was really sticking it on me, and I understand why my brother was doing that, because if I left the mosque and I was hit by a car and I died, I wouldn't have taken my shahada and I would have been out, and I would have been outside the fold of Islam, even though I knew that it was the truth. So I understand obviously why he had those concerns. However, I said, look, if I wake up in the morning and I feel exactly the same way, I'm coming straight to the mosque. Sure enough, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me life. I woke up the next day, I felt exactly the same way, that Islam was the truth, and I had to take my shahada. I took my shahada, and that was it. From there, just like my brother, I never looked back, and it's changed my life immensely.
SubhanAllah, the story that you and your brother just told, how you came to Islam, is amazing. But can you tell us, now being a Muslim, how has Islam changed your life in any way?
Islam changed my life in so many different ways. I went from being somebody that just used to sleep through so many large portions of the day and would spend most of my time awake in the night. Now I'm somebody that's a lot more productive. I'm somebody that has a clear path of guidance which I follow, a guidance which is clear, a pure guidance, which enables me to walk amongst men honourably, and to walk amongst men knowing that I can do so proudly, not arrogantly, but proudly, knowing that I know my way, I know which way is right and which way is correct. I can see the right and I can see the wrong clearly. And, you know, obviously we establish worship, so I pray 5 times a day, you know, including like nawafil, you know, voluntary acts of worship, like fasting, reading the Qur'an, teaching others to read the basic tajweed and to reading the Qur'an as well. I went and I travelled to Egypt for 1.5 years and I studied Arabic language there. You know, I only eat halal food. I don't womanise women. Before, I used to have a lot of different girlfriends and I used to, you know, take advantage of a lot of women. But now, you know, I understand taking responsibility, treating women with respect, clothing them, feeding them, living with them honourably, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to in the Qur'an. You know, I speak to my mother with a lot more respect now than I did before. My father the same, you know, and just so many different aspects. So many different aspects of my life has changed so much, you know, in regards to how I deal with people, treat with people, how I earn my money, you know, the manner in which I approach people, you know. And for myself personally, it's just a relief. I just feel relief. I feel so completely satisfied that I'm fulfilling my purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You know, I have not created jinn or mankind except that they should worship me alone. And that's exactly what I'm doing as a Muslim. I've submitted my will to Allah alone and I'm trying my best to follow His guidance. Obviously, everybody falls short, everybody sins. But at the end of the day, I know my Lord is At-Tawwab. He's the one who accepts the repentance. He's Al-Ghaffar. He's the often forgiving. He's Al-Afu. He's the most pardoning and He loves to pardon. Allahumma innaka afu wa tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allah is loving of pardon. He loves to pardon. He loves the slave that repents to Him. So when I fall short, I repent to Allah. I try to be as sincere as I can in my repentance, hoping to never return to that sin. And you know, I just try my best, man. I try to advise brothers. I try to always remind myself. And I just try to do the right things to the best of my ability, you know. And prayer is the most important thing. If you hold tightly to your prayer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always, I believe, He's guiding your affairs, you know, so long as you're remembering your salah and you're holding strictly to that. So Islam has been nothing but a blessing to me. It's given me nothing but khair. It's given me nothing but good. I love it. You know, it's the most important thing in my life. Without it, I'm nothing. Without it, I'm nobody.
What advice have you got to Muslims and non-Muslim regarding Islam? So for the viewers who are watching the show, what advice have you got to them?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The advice to any non-Muslim that's maybe looking into Islam at the minute or hasn't looked into Islam yet, I would just advise you that, look, you have to ask yourself whether you're living just for this life and you're not living for the next. Because if you only want this life, then Islam is not a religion that you can accept, because Islam is a practical religion. You have to be willing to make sacrifices to be a Muslim. You have to be willing to struggle and to fight against your desires. You have to be willing to obey and completely submit your will to the will of Allah. So you have to ask yourself, do I want more than just this life? You know, and, you know, do I want success in the hereafter? Do I want the promise of Allah, which is paradise? You know, so I guess my advice to you would be to question yourself, ask yourself, is this all that I'm living for? To go to work, earn a living, have a family, buy a car, mortgage a house, watch my kids have kids and pass away? Or do you want to live your life worshipping and giving thanks to your Lord who made you and created the earth that you walk upon and gave you all of the blessings and favours that you would have received in your life and have success in the next as well? So that would be my advice to the non-Muslim.
Salaamu alaikum, if there are Muslims watching. My advice to you would be to be sincere with yourself. And I believe that if you're sincerely looking for guidance, that Allah will guide you. If you're Muslim, non-Muslim, certainly if you're non-Muslim as well, you know, ask God, you know, if you don't want to say Allah, ask God just to guide you to what He's pleased with. Ask God, oh God, guide me to the truth, guide me to what you're pleased with. And God willing, you will find that Islam is the true religion. And for Christians in particular, if you actually look at your own book, the Bible, you will find many, many reference points which make it clear to see that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah and Islam is the religion that he has, of course, come with. I'll mention one of the verses that you can perhaps ask your pastor or priest or whoever the leader is of your church about this verse. It's in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 12, where it says in the King James Version, "The revelation will be revealed to him who is not learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray thee.' And he will say, 'I am not learned.'" If you look at that verse and you look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, you will find that he fits that prophecy to the letter. First of all, it says that the revelation will be revealed to him who is not learned. And the Prophet Muhammad, it's known amongst Muslims and non-Muslims who have studied his life that he was unlettered, he couldn't read or write. The revelation will be revealed to him who is not learned, saying, "Read this, I pray thee." The angel Gabriel came to the Prophet Muhammad and said, "Iqra, read." And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "Ma ana biqari, I am not a reader." And then the angel Gabriel, Jibril, held him very, very tight again and said, "Iqra, read." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma ana biqari, I am not a reader." And then the Prophet, the angel Gabriel let him go and the Prophet ran away. He was very scared at this time because he didn't know what was going on. That fulfills a prophecy. The revelation will be revealed to him who is not learned. The Prophet was unlearned, saying, "Read this, I pray thee." The angel Gabriel told the Prophet Muhammad to read. And he will say, "I am not learned." And that's exactly what the Prophet, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "I cannot read." So you'll find many references in the Bible to assist you in your way to Islam. There are many lectures online for revert stories from Christians who are very well-learned Christians and the Bible led them to Islam. And again, I would advise you to make your decision based upon the religion itself. And that's it.